It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And indeed, here we go, off and running on this 18th day of August 2021. August is more than half over. Oh, my God. And that means we're rapidly running out of summer and rapidly running out of August. Because, program note, I won't be here beginning Tuesday next, the 24th, as I head south for a couple of different reasons. And I'll be back somewhere around the 2nd of September. Probably no show until Friday on the front porch, the 3rd. Of September. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, this 18th day of August. And I didn't say 2,500 million or anything like that, so that's a win. But at any rate, it is the middle of the week, downhill to Friday, hump day, and indeed, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And if you'd like to be part of the congregation that gathers virtually, well, the stand-in for the Cathedral of Common Sense until we get the virus under control, really under control, and I guess that means until all the maggots die, is over at headonradionetwork.com, the Horn chat room. If you'd like to, go head over there, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and if you have, use the old one if you can remember it, whatever. However, whatever gets you there, just pop right in and you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and early congregants even. Anatole and Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by Pinch Hit Utility Chat Room Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. We've got a good group on hand, and hopefully more will be wandering by later. I certainly hope so. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful time. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, but every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thank you very kindly, Thomas, over at FYINation.com, letting me know that loud and clear on FYINation.com. Thank you, Thomas. And thank you to our 18th day of the month subscribers. Thank you, that means, to... thank you to Grace, and thank you to Charlene, thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor, thank you to our dear friend across the Pacific who wishes to remain anonymous, thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program, and thanks as well to Jessica. I had a note from Jessica up in Minnesota, and that will get us started for this evening. Let me... love how Face ID doesn't ID me so much anymore. That's a good thing. I had a note from Jessica earlier today noting some rather colorful use of language I had earlier on Monday. Not to derail the program this early into the proceedings and get the boys all in a titter and exacerbate their blue balls, but I couldn't help but think during Monday's program, as you described the girth of Nitwit Nero's equipment, or more appropriately, the lack of any sizable stature worth describing, and the various activities you pondered between him and Tucker Carlson, well, there went dinner again. And even though what I'm about to say is really nobody's business, and I will remind the Horn Community Congregation that it is inappropriate to inquire about a trans person's plans for surgical intervention, but if I decide to go with a partial vaginal canal with gender reassignment surgery or a labiaplasty in which there is no vaginal canal constructed, His diminutive prick would be undetectable even to me. Imagine a number two pencil compared to the Pennsylvania Railroad tunnels beneath the Hudson River. Oh, my. Hell, even though I've dreamed of being endowed with a wonderful pair of G-cups post-augmentation, I'm currently somewhere between a 38B and a 38C, which on a Scandinavian Valkyrie like myself are more like a pair of 38As on a cisgender woman, and as modest as my bust line is, currently I wouldn't feel anything were I to titty-fucking. No, nor that, not that I would, nor would I wish such a displeasure on my worst enemy. Not even melanoma. Not tonight, Donald. I have a headache. I just added that part. But I couldn't help but put that little pecker in his place by saying he couldn't satisfy this trans girl. And before any of the boys get any ideas, let me remind them that I'm a card-carrying lesbian, and unless they're Ryan Reynolds or Benedict Cumberbatch, you're not petting this kitty. And let me add, in regards to his bravado, this soon-to-be albino Anna Nicole Smith or Jane Mansfield, dare I equate myself to Marilyn Monroe, the closest blondes I can think of that I might resemble after my various surgeries, who's already down a testicle, that not only is my remaining ball bigger than a church bell, but it has a higher brass content than he could ever dream of attaining, Donald Trump. And maybe the reason he's such a transphobic piece of shit, Robin, is because he realizes that even the most effeminate trans woman is infinitely more masculine by orders of magnitude than he will ever be. Hopefully I haven't deepened the shade, tint of blue, of the boys' balls and shunted us down a sidetrack to the sewage reclamation facility, but with all the talk of inadequate pricks the past couple of nights, I had to chime in. So that means, you know, it's kind of on me. I'm going to kick in $20 as a mea culpa for my salacious thoughts and hope everyone has a great day. Well, thank you, Jessica. That's regards, Jessica, currently at the Mayo Clinic in the epicenter of the Greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere, awaiting the joy that is an MRI. Nothing serious, y'all. Just checking my C7-C8 cervical disc to see if it's bulging again. I know a little bit about those bulging discs and how much pain they can be. In fact, my neck is rather, well, I'm not going to say what it's as stiff as, but my cervical spine is rather stiff today. Something has to be. I will just leave that alone. Thank you, Jessica. And that's an overall cowbell for Jessica, the Scandinavian Valkyrie. Yes, indeed. By the way, we had some good news via Dave, Dave in the Blind. He told me earlier today. Christine's got called this morning. The rehab center called saying they had a bed that opened up and they wanted to come at the end of this month. They'll fly her to Chicago. Need to get a hold of a couple of carry-on bags, one for her, one for her clothes, and one for the stuff they'll send home with her. Very excited. This is great news. I thought I'd let everybody know what's going on. Good luck on your trip to Alabama. We're pulling for you, too. Pulling for you, too. Your buddy Dave in the Blind. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. And please give Christine our fondest best wishes, Dave. She is much on all of our minds. the correspondence begins with Miss Jessica. Oh, dear, dear Jessica, you are officially no longer a horn cousin. You are now a horn sister. There we go. Into the full familial membership. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And then, of course, this. Joey's Journal, cull the COVID. Cull the COVID. On this day in 1920, the 19th Amendment guaranteeing women's right to vote was ratified as Tennessee became the 36th state to approve it. And Jeffrey himself wants a vote. I'm hoping someday soon that giraffes will have the right to vote for the sake of the higher courts. However, let us go from ratified to rat-fucked, as this day represents the women's right to vote in this country, but for the women of Afghanistan, their rights to do anything, including voting, just may be rat-fucking screwed. Women will have to go back to wearing all those demeaning coverings again instead of wearing jeans, as many had been doing over the past several years. Well, hell, the good news is at least with all the head coverings, they won't catch the COVID. On this day in 1954... during the Eisenhower administration, James Ernest Wilkins became the first black official to attend a meeting of the president's cabinet as he sat in for Labor Secretary James P. Mitchell. Junior wonders, are you kidding me? You mean not one person of color sat in a cabinet meeting during the FDR administration? True. On this day in 1963, James Meredith became the first black person to graduate from the University of Mississippi with a degree in political science. He had become the first black student at the University of Mississippi on October 1st. 1962, after having been turned down twice with support from then-President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, who sent federal troops and U.S. Marshals to control riots that had broken out on the campus. Many viewed his enrollment and subsequent graduation as a pivotal point in the history of civil rights in the U.S. Jeffrey, meanwhile, has a civil rights suggestion.
Well, speaking of Mississippi, hey, Governor Tainted Reeves, why don't you do something right and be a good civil servant and pass the Medicaid expansion in your state since the COVID is running rampant? Why don't you remove the mask from eyes and place it over your mouth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job, Jeffrey. Junior, however, is maybe he's part of Junior Achievement, you know, for young entrepreneurs.
Hi, Jeffrey Jr. I'm going to open an online store geared toward the women of Afghanistan called Burka Boutique, and we'll give away free beautiful cloth Afghans with every purchase.
Oh, I think you're going to be a big hit, Junior. You're really on... But that's enough of you.
Well, it's better than those camel-feathered pillows that the My Meth Pills pillow guy's pushing.
And speaking of idiot governors, Mike DeWino, with hospitalizations on the rise in Ohio, and despite the rising numbers, DeWino stated that there will be no new COVID-19 mask mandates coming from his office.
Hey, Governor DeWino, you dumbass, do you really think people who are not willing to wear even a mask are going to get vaccinated?
And Joey knows of which he speaks. Jeffrey's right. Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati public schools have indoor mask mandates in place, but the maggot Columbus suburbs of very wealthy Dublin and Olentangy. It's Olentangy, isn't it? Not Olentangy. Olentangy. Are refusing to have implement mask policies. Do these wealthy suburbs think they can buy their way out of the pandemic? Jeffrey and I went to my doctor yesterday. My good doctor is a Republican, and I always remind him how much I hate Republicans and doctors every time I see him.
Oh, yes, Joey even hates Dr. Pepper. However, Joey's doctor is wonderful, as Dr. Ficasso insists that we need a single-payer system because, in the good doctor's words, trying to work with these insurance companies is bullshit.
Sounds like a Republican with, like, an iota of common sense. This has been Joey's Journal for the 18th of August prayer meeting Wednesday with Giraffrey praying that Cullman County, Alabama, culls the COVID herd during the Trump rally this weekend. $10 Cull Cullman County Challenge is on the table. Thank you, Jeffrey and Joey. Oh, you know, his stock has fallen. I mean, I know Cullman County, Alabama. Know it fairly well. If you take Alabama 157 down out of Muscle Shoals, it cuts a diagonal line toward I-65, and well, you pick up I-65 in Cullman County. Let's see, there's a place in Cullman County called Ave Maria Grotto, in which some dude spent a lifetime building a little bitty itsy bitsy miniature Jerusalem. That's one of their claims to fame. They have one of the last Pasquale's Pizza. Now, that was an institution as I was growing up. They had a thing called, we all know what a stromboli is, food porn segment. No, they had a stromboli sandwich, which was like a steak sandwich with this beautiful brown gravy and sautéed onions, and it was magnificent, but they all died out, but I think there's one remaining, like in Cullman. But I'm trying to, what, is he going to Cullman County High School, Nitwit Nero? Do they even have, like, a minor league baseball stadium? I mean, that's what he's down to playing. And, of course, he's in Alabama because... And suffice to say, I won't be stopping anywhere in Cullman County. No. So, if Jeffrey and... if Joey and Giraffe's challenge is met, we will get our fundraising goal down from $625 to $605, and that would be fantastic because, hey, car repairs just hit. Yay, I can't tell you how excited I am about that. Bearings! Yeah, because nobody wants to go on the road and blow and lose a bearing somewhere along the way. That can be catastrophic. So, that's coming up, and if we can knock that down, you know, maybe we get done with the Mondays and Tuesdays fundraising. That would be $325, so $10. So that meeting the challenge would get us down to, like I said, $605. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe. Let's see here. make sure, Lee in New York says, make sure Dave in the blind asks what the proper size empty luggage is needed for Christine's new stuff. They probably told him already, but if they didn't, check it out. And, of course, we've gotten things going. Thanks, Jessica. Oh, thanks, honey. Thanks so much. Little Donnie's girthless pecker. Speaking of girthless peckers, anyone know whatever happened to the hidden audio tapes in David Pecker's secret vault? Does Bezos have them yet? Working on a new song called Tiny Member, sung to the tune of Tiny Bubbles. Or how about to the tune of Tiny Dancer? Tiny Bubbles. Oh, dear God. Well, that's going to be stuck in my head. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. So you get an idea that it's going to be busy. The little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men have already been busy down in the Fellowship Hall basement. We don't have any in-person dining now, but that didn't slow them down any. No, the little old blue-haired men went out to the smokers, and they took some eye of round roasts and roasted them in salt encasements. Makes them tender and keeps the juice in there real beautiful, and then they put it on the slicer and sliced it paper thin, and the little old blue-haired ladies prepared jus and French dips. French dips went out all over to our imaginary congregants from our imaginary Fellowship Hall kitchen. And alongside that, the little old blue-haired ladies got inspired. They always are. And they whipped up a batch because, you know, summer's coming to an end, and this is a perfect time for such a thing. It was cool, and it was crisp, and it was wonderful. They whipped up this lovely batch of three bean salad. Yeah, and you know, what a wonderful, wonderful little side dish that is, because it's cool, it's summery, it's got a beautiful little red wine, sweet-ish red wine vinaigrette with thinly slivered red onions. Oh, a little bit of celery. It's just wonderful, just wonderful. And so the little old blue-haired man took the boxes out in an equitable division of labor and delivered them, masked up and gloved up, of course. And so, even though I'm all by myself, you know, here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren, well, I'm going to call on the Minister of Music to please come forward and lead us in our offertory hymn as we try to pray down this $625 fundraising hole so that this Friday isn't nearly as terrifying as last Friday. And it'll be this Friday will be the last Friday on the front porch of August, unless for some reason or another I wind up not traveling. So, sibling minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will! Empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah,
So little baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, that's it. Roasting on the Rilla Ryan, a brawl of all a suet. Amen. Hallelujah. Brethren and sisters, welcome. Welcome to this virtual service from the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am calling upon you to get up out of, off of your seat there at home, or stay in your seat if you're in the car, but lay your hands in the absence of a blood-red aisle and in the absence of an altar. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. And feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server. How on high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Aggravated Abbess, Naughty Nun, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Ginormous Guru, Robin Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sisters, I know we wait for these moments of praise and study each and every week. I know we do, and well, we are not lacking in any wise for material of evidence of great Christian faith at work. Amen. Glory. We are not. No, not in the least. And you know, we've got our services, but we're intelligent about our fake bullshit Cathedral of Common Sense imaginary religion here, and so we don't have to worry about anybody coming to the cathedral and catching the COVID, because while the religion is bullshit, the COVID is real. Well, the same is not always applicable in the people who think their religions are real. Enter one Wanda Alger. Oh, and by the way, Brother Deacon Asa once is taking exception with the little old blue-haired ladies and their choice of menu item this evening. Get thee behind me, Satan. We don't allow none of that heathen old Jews to dip in this here God-fearing Southern Baptist house of worship. Wait till you check in on the ingredients of the bread, because that's got some of that Semitic semolina wheat in it. So, oh my gracious sakes alive. Oh, Jews. Oh, Brother Deacon. Anyway, back to Wanda Alger. She's a prophetic minister. And it was a couple of months ago when she told all of her followers not to get any kind of COVID vaccine. Let's turn the clock back to the 21st day of June, 2021. Do let's.
Hi, everybody. This is Wanda Alger, and today is Monday, June 21. And I'm going to address a question that's been asked numerous times on my channel in the last number of weeks, and that is to vac or not to vac. And I'm using code words on purpose because I don't know what kind of censoring might happen here on YouTube. But I'm hoping that you are going to share what I am going to share. There is a conspiracy going on. It's a demonic conspiracy in some of the agendas that we are being challenged with and confronted with. And I recently heard it posed, do you know the difference between conspiracy theory and the truth? It seems to be about 6 months right now, because that's about how long it's taking for many of these theories to be proven true. Who would have thought that November 4 would be brought into question to the degree that it is now, but indeed it is. And in terms of this particular question, this medical question regarding the pandemic and how we're supposed to respond, much is being uncovered. The infamous emails that recently came out is now having a lot of people scratching their heads for good reason.
Emails is.
The challenge for most of us is that we have friends and family who are on the fence. These are very real life-threatening decisions, and we need to know what to do. And to be honest, I actually had another video that I had prepared to release last week, but ended up taking it down because my husband and I recently attended a conference over this weekend in Tampa, Florida. If you're on Facebook and you follow me there, you saw some of my postings there. It was the Health and Freedom Conference number 2, hosted by Clay Clark of ThriveTimeShow.com. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. I'm going to be putting links below in the description in the comments so that you can go and check these things out for yourself. But I had to take down the other video because I realized that the Lord really wanted me to approach it differently. I'm going to be looking at some spiritual things that we haven't wanted to consider. I want to share with you my own process, okay, of how my husband and I have reached the decision of we are not taking the back. It's not only a matter of conscience. No, it's much more dangerous than that. And so I'm hoping that you're going to be questioning a lot of things and perhaps even empowered and more informed.
And so you get the idea of where this bilious horse shit is going from this toxic bioterrorist woman. Apparently this is posted on some website called Rumble. Because maybe YouTube did take her down for spreading anti-vax conspiracies. Make no mistake, this woman hiding behind the lace skirts of the First Amendment's religious freedom protections, she's trying to kill her own parishioners, or her own followers, or whatever, her own cultists. And she goes on in this lengthy diatribe to describe the COVID vaccine as a demonic conspiracy. No shit. And so, because the goddess of irony is not mocked, she took care to make sure that Wanda Alger learned. Wanda Alger had come up with a hustle that she was calling a prophetic mentoring weekend. You know, one either has the gift of prophecy or doesn't have the gift of prophecy, at least in the bullshit shenanigans that these people pitch. I don't know how you mentor one into... Right. So she posted a message. This one didn't go up video-wise. No. Of course not. Due to a sudden surge of COVID and other related illnesses in our congregation, and other related illnesses, you know, death, we're having to cancel our upcoming prophetic mentoring weekend that was to start this Thursday, August 19th. This was a really difficult decision to make, but we knew we had no other option. I myself got hit over the weekend, and I've been focusing on recovery. Wait a minute. I'm taking... Get the hockey puck. Ivermectin, along with extra doses of vitamin C, D, and zinc. I am taking ivermectin. You know, horse paste. Wanda Alger is taking sheep dip. I'm praying for speedy healing and restoration. Please pray for our middle son, Nathan, who's also sick and has a highly compromised immune system. He's been dealing with Lyme's disease for the past 3 years and is concerned how his body is going to handle this. His doctor is prescribing the same thing I'm taking. Horse paste? So I bet that's not really a doctor. So we're hoping for the best. Well, hope in one hand and die in the other, Wanda. Pray for his peace of mind, especially as he's been given to panic attacks in past years. I'll bet he does! If your mom was this woman, I'd panic until it was old enough to get out the damn door. Once I feel better, I do have some things to share from the Lord concerning the global situation. In the meantime, it's evident the devil is on a rampage with this virus. Let's stand strong against his schemes and declare the blood of Jesus over all. And horse paste. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, yeah. So, this is the first I've heard of this woman, and she is a real piece of work. It was April of 2020 when she declared that the pandemic was caused by, and I don't know, has she been on the Alex Jones program? Because she says the pandemic was caused by remote-controlled mini-robot rats who were determined to keep the pandemic going so Christians couldn't go to church in Easter of 2020.
My goodness gracious, she is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. But what's new? And meanwhile, also, we had a mention, a brief mention, so we could remember Kenneth Copeland last night. And, last week, according to Hemant Mehta, Kenneth Copeland was speaking at the 2021 Southwest Believers Convention. That's a convention of people who believe in the Compass Point Southwest. Now, I don't know. And he was putting on a miracle show, running around tapping people and claiming that they were all healed up. Yeah. But he went up. Dear God. Get a little bit of the audio, shall we?
That's him going through you right now. Yes, it is.
I take it.
Yes, it is.
I take it.
Glory to God. You're not bound to this chair. The day will come, you'll walk out.
He's walked up to a man in a wheelchair. And the poor soul is standing up there. He's got his arms in the air, and he's shaking his arms and saying, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. This is pathetic. This is horrifying. There's a reason I mentioned that he's in a wheelchair. And so he's going to receive the healing touch from Kenneth Copeland.
Out of it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yep. Pushed him. Thank you, Lord. The thank you, Lord part is from the fact that he actually knocked the man backwards over in his wheelchair. And then just, you know, blew on past.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And all the Christians with the poor fellow laying there backwards, nobody really making much of an effort to get him back up, get his chair righted. Oh, you know, they're just clapping. Oh, look at the miracle of Jesus causing gravity to happen to that poor feller. Damn! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Now then, you guys, just help him up.
Jesus.
Help him up. Power of God's all over him. He's not hurt. He's not hurt. Praise the God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Oh, I like the color of that mask there.
You knew I'd like that one, didn't you?
Oh, red, white, and blue. Glory to God. In the name.
Yeah, of course, she took the mask off. She's wearing it as a fucking chin strap. Oh, the idiots. The stupid, stupid fools. Yeah. By the way, obligatory Mr. Ed reference, courtesy of Lee in New York, subject line ivermectin. Wilbur, have you seen my medicine? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Ed. Wanda Alger came here in the night, and she stole your horse paste. Yeah. Well, by the way, Stephen, New York, Brother Usher Steve informs me that we should change no longer Maximum Metropolitan. It is now Maximum Mother Superior. Well, thank you. I think that's a promotion. Now I get it, Steve says. Just call anytime you try to predict things or prognosticate about things, prophesying, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Brother Deacon Asa says, may I remind the Horn Family Community Congregation that M.C. Copeland, also known by his stage name, Lil' Casey, is in a certain Brother Deacon's Deadpool for 2021? Well, time yet remains. Of course, then again, Pat Robertson, I remember when Pat Robertson claimed he was doing like 1,200-pound leg presses. Yes. Remember, Brother Deacon, evil is a preservative. Oh, yes. Please explain, could you, asks Ron and Raleigh, from your high pseudo-religious perch, please explain to me how these charlatans and mountebanks determine that they have a direct line from old Yahweh. Must be a goddamn party line. Oh, by the way, since your transition, you are now a Shayla, so you're now a Koala Kincaid and an SLS. A suspiciously lad Shayla. Right. Thank you. Hadn't been thinking about that. Koala Kincaid. Yes, fuzzy and cuddly with sharp, nasty claws. That's me. Yes. How? Well, I mean, it's the grift was set up by the framers of the Constitution. Because they were desperately concerned to make sure that things like the pogrom against the Huguenot and Huguenots, right? And the various pogroms against the Jewish communities that had plagued Europe for 1700 years, or, you know, 1500 years, and the purges and violence between Protestants and Catholics in England. They really didn't want that to happen, so anybody can be anything, and we wouldn't want a state religion. But along the way, that gets transmogrified into just about anything you do can be a religion, until it started getting messed with in the 20th century, and the federal government started attacking indigenous religions for their use of certain mind-altering substances, which actually led to the Freedom of Religion Act, or whatever we call it, which then Hobby Lobby turned around and used to say that they could claim a deeply held religious conviction to not pay for birth control. Or as Rush Limbaugh, who is on his latest infinite pineapple today, refers, slut medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wheelchair, asks Matt in San Francisco. I would encourage the man who was pushed over onto his back to file assault charges against the dear holy fellow. I would too, but he's probably scared to death of Kenneth Copeland, because, you know, Kenneth Copeland has tickets out of hell and into heaven. And I don't know. I'm sure Kenneth Copeland would hire some damn fine secular lawyers who would then explain that it was all a matter of assumption of the risk. I wish I was joking. Oh, and by the way, Tom in sunny San Rafael, going back to Joey and Giraffe's note, with a little advice for Jeffrey and Joey, as they bring up baby, little Junior. I do hope that Joey takes care to explain to Junior that not everything tall is good. Most are, certainly, but not everything. For example, Junior needs to know that the Taliban are horrible, as is, of course, Tal-Qaeda. Oh, and another punster enters the fray. Oh, Tom, that's a gnar. That's a pair of gnars. That's a... Ooh, that, well played. Well played, indeed. So, as we go through this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist prayer meeting Wednesday, there's even more. Climate change is always a good possibility. And thanks to the fine folks over at Right Wing Watch, we get to learn about Shane Vaughn. He's in Mississippi, Stan, at First Harvest Ministries. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know what? If you acknowledge the science of climate change, Shane Vaughn has some bad news for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really bad. Pineapple bad.
Climate change is not scientific. It is a religion. It is an anti-Christ religion that has taken over the minds of the world. In today's lesson, I'm going to prove to you from God's word that it is a sin to believe in the ideology and the religion of climate change. They present this like it's irrefutable. And every single person on earth, nearly every single person, falls for it. Do you know why? Revelations 12 and 9. Satan has deceived the whole world. If you believe that mankind is causing climate change, you're deceived.
You know, being as how I'm in charge, well, me and my kind are in charge of things like volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and the like, we might want to think about sending one to visit Shane Vaughn. Maybe, you know, it's kind of like, Pizza Hut has the personal pan pizza. Maybe Shane Vaughn needs his own personal tornado. You know, say like in December, when tornadoes aren't supposed to happen there in Mississippi Stan. Maybe. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. A guy who is not a scientist, who is actually a preacher, who wouldn't know science if an apple dropped off a tree onto his head. You know, gravity. Says that climate change is a religion. Now, I have yet to hear, I'm fairly well familiar with religions, as are many of us, and I have yet to see anybody have to wear a funny hat over climate change. Sunscreen, maybe, but that's just because of the, you know, the radiation, the ultraviolet, bright sunburns. No funny hats, no funny shawls, no funny clothes. No. Nobody making pictures with sand or ringing bells in a particular direction or gongs or no, none of that. No, there's no statues of the god of the. I mean, there's no statues of Dr. Hansen or the hockey stick guy or no graven images. No churches. And nobody out there registering a 501c3 religious organization called the First Church of Climate. No. No, he's just another grifting gospel sharp who's out there making shit up.
By Satan.
Satan.
Do you know that the American West is withering as I speak to you right now? California is withering. Have you seen the levels of the lakes there? Have you been noted? Do you see the withering? Folks, wake up, America.
Huh?
Return to your God.
I think the acid's kicking in. Not for me, for him.
Submit to Yahweh. Obey his commandments.
Yeah, don't you bet. Look, dude is wearing, I kid you not, a suit jacket that looks like it was made out of one of those Ralph Lauren blue sheets with the white pinstripes through it. Used to see him at Gabe's once in a while because I could never afford the real Ralph Lauren's. But I'm guessing there's probably some mixed fibers in there. He's going to hell. Obey the commandments of God. When was your last shrimp cocktail, Shane? Yeah? Have you ever eaten beef stroganoff in a cream sauce? Yep, that's another pineapple, Shane.
Keep his Sabbath holy!
Dude, that's from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, and I'm pretty sure I know where you are then. Sunday.
Give him his tithe! Walk circumspectly before...
Circumspectly? Shibboleth, shibboleth, shibboleth.
For him. Oh, hallelujah.
Go!
God causes these conditions. And listen what he said. God says in this verse, he controls the rain, the droughts, the famines, the floods.
Yeah, he also controlled the fact that those Bronze Age boobies didn't understand how a fucking wheelbarrow worked. Or what pi was. Book of Kings, pi equals 3. It's right there. Try building a pyramid with that.
Do you know why we want to believe that climate change does this? It gives us the power. You scientists from the pits of hell, how dare you take from Yahweh the sovereign right over the weather that he alone claims and he alone controls, you demonic demons from...
Oh, I'm rooting for that tornado. I gotta tell you, I am rooting for that tornado. Mm, come on. Because it seems a bit extreme and we don't go in for collective punishment. It just needs one little F5 just right there on Shane Vaughn's house. Like I said, in January, December, when they're not supposed to be happening, but they happen now because of climate change. Mm-hmm. Or, massive floods. Nah, you're never going to reach him.
The cesspools of the abyss of hell.
Somebody take that man shopping. Do something about that suit, Jesus, please. It's a heck of a Jim Dandy prayer meeting Wednesday. And then this, for entertainment purposes. A Portuguese musician by the name of André Antunes. Antunes? Has taken to making metal remixes of right-wing preachers. So here we have Greg Locke, the guy who said that he would throw out anybody who wore a mask to his circus tent revivals. The same guy who said that the Republican governor of Tennessee was building extermination camps just for him, Greg Locke, because he won't get a vaccine. Yeah. Well, this is just fun. I heard this earlier today, and the musician in question is just fan-freaking-tastic. There's a whole bunch of shrieking and hooting and grunting on the part of Greg Locke. Let's check in. Dude's good. Oh, mercy. Goodness gracious sakes alive. He's a lot more palatable that way, no doubt about it. And then, simply because, it's not all just garden variety right-wing gospel sharp bat shittery. Enter Lee Allen Baker in, of course, Tennistan, Williamson County, Tennistan. The Board of Education there had a meeting about a mask mandate the board had imposed, in an effort to keep children from dying from this preventable disease. Well, Lee Allen Baker, who used to be on some Disney program, some show I never saw called Good Luck Charlie. Well, she showed up at the Williamson, Tennessee school board ready to explain some science to them. Oh, brethren and sistren, get the hockey puck.
Alan Baker, and I'm a California refugee. Alan Baker, and I'm a California refugee. I gave up everything there, a really successful Hollywood career, television shows, gave it all up for freedom and to come to this friendly place of Tennessee and be greeted with open arms, and I love it here. I wanted to tell you that I have two vaccine-injured children, and they have medical exemptions because after the seizures and the hospitalizations, after all of their immunizations, I was granted, obviously, a medical exemption. So my children are those rare children that will just not be able to get the vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Still, I would never put them in a mask because their brain needs oxygen to grow.
She can't wear a mask because she's brain dead. Vaccine-injured children. Prove it, sister!
which the neurologist can confirm. Anyway, the real part of the clown show is that you all think that you actually have the authority to mandate this. Because there are these books that I have, and I have these
books
for you. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Federalist Papers, and also the Bible. And these guarantee my freedom and yours and our children's to breathe oxygen.
Woo, she said oxygen. Woo, that's a big word. How you spell that, Marvelline? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their brain needs oxygen to grow, and a mask is the same as painting over the faces of the children with, like, rubber cement or something. Little nostrils and little mouths, and they can't get no oxygen. Oh, my God. The stupid is strong with this one. She brought him a constitution, not based on science. She brought him the Declaration of Independence, which, as we've discussed before, is a propaganda document. I wonder if maybe she highlighted the part about the merciless Indian savages. Yeah. And sorry, nothing about masks in the Federalist Papers either. Bill, right. The Bill of Rights is in the Constitution, as, you know, amendments too, which become part of. So basically, I'd like to know why maybe the county Child Protective Services aren't maybe investigating her, because it sounds like, by virtue of what she publicly admitted, she's a... she is either abusive or neglectful toward her children. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know how I mentioned a few minutes ago that Kenneth Copeland would probably hire some real good secular lawyers to defend any lawsuit from the dude in the wheelchair that he knocked over? Yeah. Well, I don't think he would use the grifter Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. No. They're a 501c3 grift, and it's pretty nasty. This is the same guy that was such a good lawyer that he got sister clerk Kim Davis a nice little stay in the federal hoosegow. Remember her? Because she didn't want to give a marriage license to a couple of women. Because Jeebus. He's also become a big-time anti-vaxxer. Because in the right wing... That third of America is really, really they're credulous, and it's a big dollar. So now he says that there's graphene oxide, which is poisonous, in the vaccines. It's entirely a lie, but you can say anything because of our twisted approach to the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And here we go. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, before we get into the heart of this madness, a reminder, we now do have science that shows that there's not a lot of impact on a woman's fertility relative to COVID or the vaccine by any stretch of the imagination. But guys who get COVID can be rendered either low sperm count, diminished, or just outright sterile. Not according to Matt Staver, the grifter from Liberty Council.
When you speak about depopulation, say a little bit more about that. I know Bill Gates has spoken on this. Part of the question I'm asking is, are the people who are advocating depopulation, if it's being caused potentially by the vaccine, did they themselves, they claim to have gotten this vaccination as well? How does that work?
Well, I don't know whether Gates got it. I don't recall seeing anybody injecting his arm. And if he did, who knows what they were putting in it. But I haven't seen anything to that effect. But
wow.
Bill Gates is definitely a social Darwinianist, like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, Bill Gates, just like Adolf Hitler. A social Darwinianist. There's no such thing as social Darwinianism. Now, social Darwinism, that's a thing. But he's a social Darwinianist, just like Adolf Hitler. No. You know, just because we talk about the fact that this planet is badly overpopulated doesn't make one a genocidalist. I mean, it's true. We have overpopulated the planet in a big, bad way. People have been talking about this since the time of, what was his name, Malthus in the 19th century? He was kind of gross about it. He was way gross about it. But even he said that nature would take care of it. And nature may yet. Because we're kind of back to the whole climate change thing. Climate change is anthropomorphic, is caused by human beings and by our activity on the planet. We've managed to heat the planet up more in the last, 170 years or so than all of humanity before that time. And in fact, as hot as this place has been since before there were fully formed humans. Oh, well.
Like Margaret Sanger, like J.D. Rockefeller, like the Carnegie Institute. Ford, the maker of the Ford company, Henry Ford, they were all Darwinianists, social Darwinianists. They believed in evolution. They believed that.
Imagine, this guy's actually a lawyer. He gets to go into court and argue cases. This guy who believes there's a thing called social Darwinianism. And the standard disclaimer applies that what we're hearing here is abject idiocy, deadly idiocy in this case. But if he was just saying it into a vacuum, it would be no big deal. But this is a country of some 330 plus million people. So that means there's room for this guy in the world. There's an audience for his stupidity, by the way. Steve in New York just sent along a photograph of Bill Gates getting his COVID vaccine. Of course, you're not really seeing this. And as Matt Staver said, who knows what was in that? Might have just been a B12 shot. Might have been saline solution, you know, like the nurse in Germany gave to all those elderly people. Ugh.
Blacks and people that were not white were not as evolved, and that the whites were the more evolved one, and only certain kinds of whites. And that was their ideology. And Gates's father was a former Planned Parenthood president. And so Gates was raised in this eugenics racist ideology. He is a eugenicist. He has done a TED Talk in 2010. And the TED Talk says that we need to reduce carbon emissions down to zero by no later than 2050. Otherwise, the planet will collapse and be destroyed.
That's not eugenics. That's science. Whatever you say about Bill Gates or his operating system, he was merely parroting what the scientists had told him and what the scientists have been screaming from the rooftops since the 1970s. And of course, since it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, we can quote that old line, a prophet is never welcome in his own land. And so that's why people who know that climate change is real, who follow the science, who adhere to the science, who acknowledge the reality of the science, well, I think we understand better than just about anybody else the danger of not a majority, but a plurality. Look what 30 to 33%, maybe 37% of this country did to the rest of us over the course of the last 4 years. And they never even had a majority to do it with.
Wow. I know. Oh, let me go back to a note from Ron and Raleigh. Another query. I've heard many pundits refer to the Taliban as terrorists. I don't remember them terrorizing anyone. They've always fought straight up against the folks they consider their enemies. They've been brutal, but they've not used suicide bombers or bombed a school bus or any other terror tactics. So when did they become terrorists? Well, no, I mean, yeah, there have been some suicide attacks. I think you'll find that in the last 20 years or so. It's probably how some of those 66,000 Afghan soldiers died. And I think if you apply the legal definition of terrorism to what they do, well, you know, stonings, public stonings and beheadings and things like that in stadiums, that smacks of terrorism because it's a way to compel behavior through terror. But I'm certainly not going to dance on that pinhead. They were doing these things after they had been run out of government. Remember, they folded like a house of cards when we attacked, more or less, 20 years ago. That's how we were able to set up our puppet government. Oh, by the way, Ashraf Ghani, the apparently very fast president, former, of Afghanistan, has popped up. He is in the UAE, I believe. Yeah. He's been allowed to go there on what the UAE describes as humanitarian grounds, and probably he and several lots of sacks of Afghan money, gold, probably. You're intelligent puppet dictators from Middle Eastern and Central Asian nations. They know that gold is your best hedge against inflation. They've probably been watching Fox, and that's how they learned it. Yeah. He bugged out in a hurry, didn't he? He didn't have any problem getting out of town. Well, see you later, y'all. You know, best wishes to the Taliban and all that. Yeah, I'm going to Disney World. You're right. Yeah. Social Darwinism, by the way, Ron and Raleigh reminds us, was a made-up theory that Nazis used to justify their eugenics programs. Right. Darwin had nothing to do at all. He would have been horrified by it. But then again, Nazis are liars and murderers and thugs, and they will make shit up. And, of course, the religion industry latched onto the term because it was a way to besmirch the theory of evolution, which, you know, evangelicals hate the theory of evolution because it suggests that we have a common ancestor or common ancestors, and that means that we're actually, all of us, kinfolk, and places like the Southern Baptist Convention were founded on the very idea that, us good white people, we're not related, quit saying that. Anyway, back to Matt Staver.
Destroyed. He has a four-part plan, and on part number one, it's two parts of one, and that is reproductive health care, which is, i.e., abortion, and vaccines. And you have to ask yourselves, well, if vaccines are supposed
Wait, reproductive health care, which is, i.e., abortion. No, it's also condoms, dipshit. It's also the pill. It's also diaphragms. It's also the sponge. It's also, spermicidal vaginal film. Yeah. It's also reproductive health care is also vasectomies. But never mind. Back to the terrorist issue. Steve in New York says, let's be very honest here. There's no such thing as terrorism. It does not exist other than as an invented word to label one's opponents. It is nothing more than incendiary in the eyes of the beholder. Think American colonists in the Revolution. To the British, the colonists were terrorists. To us, they were not. It has no definition, and we would do well not to use it. It means nothing. I disagree. I mean, it obviously means something because it has a definition at law. There are statutes that define it, both on various national levels and internationally. And it's generally understood to be action taken by a group to create acquiescence to political goals. For instance, I'm not going to stop referring to people like Matt Staver as a bioterrorist, someone who uses biological elements to achieve terroristic ends. Okay? Matt Staver wants to kill people. Don't know why. He's particularly knocking off his own base, but that's the way it is with psychopaths. We can use that too. As to Taliban terrorists, Megan says, wasn't the Taliban responsible for the shooting of Malia Yousafzai for no other reason than she was trying to go to school and being an educational advocate for women and girls? Don't they take underage girls as brides? If that's not terrorism, then I don't know what is. I tend to agree, Megan. And yeah, they tried to assassinate Malala Yousafzai. As to money, $168 million gold Afghanis, remember, the Afghani is the currency, Afghans are the people, Afghani is the money. Mr. Ghani sounds like the Cubans that fled after the rebellion. Same kind of folks, really. You know, igumfoos. Okay, I think we're getting into a discussion now. Terrorism has no definition in humanitarian law. I prefer to call Matt Staver a murderer. But the problem is, if you use the definition of murder, you're going to have a hard time making that stick. You know, I don't think we can throw the word away, because things like stochastic terrorism, you know, the deliberate infliction of terror. I mean, terror is a very real thing, and to deliberately inflict it is terrorism. Intentional infliction of terror distress. Ooh, now there's an interesting cause of action to try to plead before some black-robed. Yeah.
To make you more healthy, and you want to reduce population by 10 to 15%, which is going to be 700 million to a billion people on the planet. He wants to do that right away. About a billion people on the planet. He wants to reduce and wipe off the planet now.
He's never said any such thing, but never mind.
Ask yourself, how are you going to do that? And if vaccines actually make you live longer, why would you then say people need vaccines? Well, it's because they know that...
This is going to be some pseudo-mental, pseudo-scientific, entire 200-proof bullshit gymnastics.
When they inject them, they can put things in your body that ultimately affects your reproduction. And what we know now about a Japanese study with these COVID shots is, where do they accumulate? They don't stay in your arm.
Well, no, because if they stayed in your arm, then only your arm wouldn't get COVID. The lengths that these hucksters are willing to go. Okay, so I guess it's going to, let's guess here. It's going to accumulate in the reproductive organs. I have a feeling we're not going to see an appreciable decline in the world birth rate, but nobody's ever going to call Matt Staver on this. No.
The vaccines go to certain concentrated places. One of those concentrated places that seems to be a little odd for a vaccine to go to, and I use the word in quotes as vaccine, is the ovaries, and has a very high concentration in the ovaries. What we're seeing with women...
Emery, maybe we shouldn't ought to have got the shot. It's done accumulated in my ovarians.
Is missed menstrual cycles, two menstrual cycles a month, heavy bleeding, painful menstrual cycles. We're even seeing that with people, by the way,
we're seeing that with people. You know, there's a lot of reasons why such things might happen. Let's start with something called polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which way too many women suffer from, and can make a woman's reproductive system downright dysregulated. It's incredibly painful. It results in the formation of things like ovarian cysts, which themselves can be extremely dangerous. But, you know, Matt Stavers cares more about the pre-issue. See, this all boils down to him being obsessed with the precious little fetuses.
By the way, who haven't gotten the shot but have been in close proximity to those who have the shot. Start asking women in your reaches. It may be a sensitive situation, but just ask them, have you experienced, after being in close contact with somebody who's had the shot, have you experienced any rashes? Just ask them two questions, rashes or bleeding?
Yeah, that ain't going to prove anything. And hopefully, if Matt Staver walked up to some rando woman and asked her, hopefully she would knock some teeth out of his head.
And I can guarantee you, you will be surprised at how many women will come back and say, oh my, that's why my monthly cycle is all messed up.
You know, if I wanted to take the time to do it, I'd just cut out a little sound clip of Matt Stavers saying, my monthly cycle. Is there something you want to tell us, Matt?
And so what it's doing is it's affecting the reproductive systems, and it goes to the testes as well. And it's affecting both men and women in terms of their ability, or rather their inability, to later procreate. So one, it's killing people. Two, it's going to prevent people from procreating. So
okay, so let's just be clear here. There's no data that it's killing people. There's no appreciable data that the vaccines are killing people. There have been reports, and they've been documented in the trials and subsequent to the trials, of some thrombolytic activity, some myocarditis. But it doesn't even exist at the levels that these things exist in the general population. I know. Lee in New York says, my COVID shot must have been fake. I'm not the least bit magnetic. Oh, don't sell yourself short. We think you've got a delightfully magnetic personality, Lee. Yeah. Vaccines and fertility, shocking. Staver's a fucking liar. No evidence that the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines affect sperm production. None. Zero. Also, COVID vaccines do not harm ovaries, neither does the virus, according to doctors in research facilities in Israel. Of course not.
I will guarantee you that in a few years, when somebody does a study, they're going to say, I wonder why the population reproduction rate has plummeted. And whether they're going to connect it to this or not, I don't know.
And that's the entire clip right there. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm a sleazy, grifty lawyer who runs a 501c3 hustle. To go into court and try to make marginalized people more marginalized and more miserable. Yeah, I know. It's just all madness. God almighty. Yeah, stop it, Robin. Bill Gates was getting a mandatory update to his OS in the shot. Yeah, okay. I know. And this goes on and on and on. All of this madness. But there's some reality out there. Ugly, painful, awful realities. You know, one of these days we'll get back to having a program where we talk about things between or issues that aren't COVID and aren't right. This idiot cannot be serious, Megan says. Menstruating woman here. First shot, my arm was sore for 4 days and I had swollen lymph nodes in my armpit. Second shot, I felt like I had a low-level version of mono and stayed in bed for 3 days because I was tired and had a bit of a fever. and more swollen lymph nodes in my armpit, all of which went away. No bleeding, no spotting, nothing of that sort. This dude is just too obsessed with women's uteruses and needs another hobby. Lobby. Don't encourage him to get another hobby, Lobby Megan. It's already bad enough as it is. Vaccine in testes. Matt in San Francisco, speaking from the other end of the spectrum, says, "When I get home, I'm going to insist my husband examine my testicles." love. Twoove. Hey, honey, we got a reason to... Yeah, never do anything like that without a reason. Sun's up, mail's in, somebody's birthday somewhere, right? So, because I'm... You know, we've already been to Cullman County, Alabama this afternoon. Let's go back to Cullman County, Alabama, where the school superintendent there is a dude, a maggot, a COVIDiot, a mask hole, a spreadneck, by the name of Shane Barnett, our second Shane of the evening. Don't come back, Shane. Don't come back. He had to issue an apology this past Monday because he alarmed parents as a result of a meeting coming up of the school board to discuss a mask mandate. Yeah. I wish I was kidding. He apologized to them for making them think they might have to actually take precautions to keep their children from dying.
Good morning, Cullman County families. I just wanted to reach out to you this morning and talk to you a little bit about what we can do to keep our kids safe and what we can do to keep our kids in school.
You got to wonder what. How does one become the superintendent of the Cullman County Schools? I mean, did he graduate sixth grade just like Jethro Bodine, born with a full set of teeth, just like a beaver?
Numbers yesterday at the end of the day were very alarming. Our COVID-related absences were almost 400, which is higher than any one day last school year. I know I alarmed some of you by putting out a notice that we were going to have a special called board meeting relative to mask. But I will tell you this, because of laws and staying transparent, we have to give a 24-hour notice in case we want to have a meeting.
Because the laws, you know, we got stop signs, so we got to give you 24 hours notice if we don't have a meeting.
But after I spoke to the board members, there was no meeting needed. I decided to do this video and really plead with you guys for your help and helping us.
Hold the hell on. After I talked to the board members, we realized there was no need for a meeting. Time out. In other words, he's admitting he had a meeting with the school board that was not noticed to declare that there was no need for a meeting and he could just do this video. Oh, Jesus God, Buford T. School Superintendent.
Let's keep our schools open and keeping our kids in school. And so that's why we're doing this video today. Like I said, you know, our COVID numbers, our COVID-related absences are very high right now. But I want to talk to you about some of the things, some of the procedures that we're doing right now and how you can help me with those. First of all, any student that wears a mask will not be sent home as a close contact. And let me say again, we're not requiring masks. I want that to be a parent's choice. I think that's important. For whatever reason,
Yeah, it's just like in the Old Testament. It's a parent's choice whether or not they want to kill their youngins. You know, kid says, "Mommy, Daddy, can I have a mask before I go to school? I'm kind of afraid." You disobedient child, we're going to take you before the elders of the town and take you outside of the town outside the town gates and stone you to death. Or maybe we'll just let some people with COVID breathe all over you. I don't understand. I remember when ours were little, we did everything in our power to keep them safe and keep them healthy. I remember when Ferg was just a tiny little baby, newborn. And we heard him wheezing when he would lay in his crib at night. And then we watched, and something was happening in his throat when he would try to breathe. And I remember holding my little son and taking a baby bottle nipple and getting him to suck down some, I think it was barium, so that they could take a picture of his, of the esophagus as the stuff traveled down into his tummy. And that's how we found out that that he was born without the cartilage of his esophagus fully forming. You know, you can feel it on your own. There are little rings, little cartilage rings, and they're what keep your esophagus open. And he didn't have that yet. And so when he would lay down and breathe, when he would breathe in, his esophagus would collapse and he couldn't breathe. And his mother and I were scared. Oh, we were so scared. But, you know, we didn't think that we were going to pray cartilage into his little throat. And we didn't think that if we gave him some horse paste, that it was going to make things better. Instead, we trusted doctors. And the doctors gave us the answer. And even though he was way too little then for solid foods, Agnes started mixing his bottles with a little bit of rice cereal, just enough to thicken it up some. And that way he wouldn't reflux. And then in terms of sleeping, it was as simple as he couldn't lay down. So he spent his infancy sleeping propped up with his head back. And that way his esophagus didn't collapse and he didn't turn blue. And that was a lot to go through, and we were very afraid. But Agnes is a nurse, and she knew that there would be an answer of some sort. And you've got parents who are so goddamn stupid that they think it does some sort of harm to their children to wear a simple device that reduces the amount of viral particles that can enter or exit their child's body. Great God in heaven. Or not, you know. Ridiculous. Now, let's go back to Superintendent Shane, shall we?
People believe in masks, some people don't, and I'm not here to debate that today. That's a parent's choice.
Huh? Some people believe in masks, some parents don't believe in? Masks are real. It's not subject to faith. But this guy is the superintendent. This guy's the superintendent of an entire county school system. And that is breathtaking to me. I'm amazed. And not amazed at the same time. and children will die. But he doesn't believe, you know, he's not here to debate whether people believe in masks or not. This is what happens when you deliberately undereducate an entire population for a significant period of time. We've talked about the lack of civic learning. Beginning with Reagan, how people we stopped teaching people how government works. We apparently stopped teaching children how everything works. Because I'm not trying to engage in some sort of generational conflict, but the people who are grunting and hooting and barking and squealing and shrieking about their precious lumpkins wearing a mask at school, well, these are people of a generation somewhere between probably what? Let's be generous and say 25 to 40. So that's people born between 1995 and 1980. Have I got the math right? 1980? What? Wait, Ronald Reagan took office on January the 20th, 1981. And the Republican death grip on American political and cultural life is about the same time. How about that? The GOP, in its own right, is a fucking virus. Holy mackerel. It all begins... The things you stumble onto. Well, I'm not here to debate whether y'all believe in masks.
And but I want you to know, if your child does wear a mask, they will not have to be sent home for being a close contact. Secondly, if your child's identified as a close contact and they are not masked, the Alabama Department of Public Health expects them to stay at home for 10 days while they are monitored for symptoms of COVID-19. And then if they have symptoms, they'll stay home further than that. If your child's been fully vaccinated, or if they've recovered from COVID-19 within the last 90 days, they don't have to be sent home for being a close contact either. So keep that in mind, please.
Wait, is this guy trying to gently use the carrot instead of the stick? Because mommy and daddy, good God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican, the last thing in the world they want is their baby to home. Don't send my baby home. I mean, if my baby's had close contact with COVID, well, fuck it. Don't you send Jim Bob Joe Steve home. We had enough of that shit for a year and a half. Who are these parents? Honestly, who are these parents? By the way, John in Central PA says, Carrie Underwood liked to tweet from Matt Walsh, a neo-Nazi propagandist, protesting mask mandates for kids at a school board meeting. By the way, he's a millionaire whose kids are homeschooled. I'm sure the same goes for Carrie's kids. These people are depraved savages. They're psychopaths. The rich are killing us. And how do you protect yourself? Jeremy with a question. Is this superintendent pulling another shift after his first job as a funeral director? You begin to wonder. I wonder if he wears a mask when he shows up at... Busted Knuckle Elementary. You reckon?
Once again, I don't like masks. I know some people do,
It's not like or not like, dipshit. This guy should be removed from his fired yesterday. Yeah, see, there's Steve. I don't believe in masks. I know they exist. Here's proof. PPE disposable face mask, blue, 50 per case, $27.50 per case. Ta-da! Well, I don't believe in that. You know, I do believe in talking snakes, but I don't believe in that. I don't like masks.
Again, I'm not here to debate that, but I want you to know, if your child wears a mask to school, they will not be sent home as a close contact. I need your help in one other area.
Yeah?
If your child has any symptoms of COVID-19, or if they're exposed to somebody in your family that has symptoms of COVID-19, or is positive...
Keep your little snot and snot-nosed rug rat home.
...for COVID-19, I need you to keep them at home.
Told you.
A lot of our numbers right now are students that are coming to school either exposed at home, or they've already shown symptoms or tested positive, and yeah, we've sent them home to school. I need those students to stay at home and just... Yeah,
don't say about anything about them being, you know, that maybe they was exposed at home or maybe at school. How about at church, Superintendent Shane?
Just report that to the school, that they've either been exposed or that they've tested positive. If you'll do that and if you'll work with me, we can keep our schools open. We can keep our kids in school.
We can keep playing football.
I've said this all along. I believe that face-to-face instruction is the number one best type of instruction, not just for what they learn, but for...
It's also a great way to spread COVID, but never mind.
Their social and emotional learning as well. Our kids need to be together, and they need to be in school. So if you will, help me with those few areas, and I'm confident we can get through this. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Have a great day. Goodbye.
God bless. Well, we know one thing. The children of Cullman County, Alabama are... what's the word I'm looking for here? Fucked! Squooed! Big time.
Bigly.
And a reminder, this is the same county that Nitwit Nero is going to be visiting next weekend. And there will not be a mask to be seen. And there will then be super spreading, assuming he gets any kind of a crowd. And Cullman County seems like a place where no matter what kind of shitty little venue it is, there will be a crowd. Mm-hmm. Things I don't like, says Steve in New York, seatbelts. Fasonopril for my high blood pressure. Synthroid for my hypothyroidism. Zoloft for my depression and anxiety. Lamotrigine for bipolar 2. Razors for my facial hair. But I use them all! I don't like masks. Well, I tell you what, they must have really had to scrape the bottom of the pickle barrel to find old Superintendent Shane. Yeah. Okay, somehow there's something about him that reminds me of Mississippi Governor Colonel Taint Reeves. You know, old child gets this, and he might get the sniffles or something. And then a 13-year-old honor student dies. Oh, two also. She was black. And by the way, we are past the halfway point of the program. This is Conversation Radio, you know. If you'd like to engage in the conversation, you are more than welcome. 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. One of these days we'll get rid of most all these Bob references. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeremy informs us after the super spreader event in Kansas City, where all of 35 people were willing to trade a vaccine for really awesome seats to see old Garth. Well, there's been a brewing controversy in the country music world, and one of the leaders of that controversy is one of my personal favorites, Jason Isbell. You know, he said, fuck all y'all. you want to come see my show, you're either going to show a recent negative COVID test, or you're going to show us your vaccine, your shot record. To which the maggots predictably said, "Shut up and just play music, goddamn it." And meanwhile, Garth Brooks was, having his super spreader event in Kansas City. But as Jeremy points out, he's canceled all the rest of his tour dates for the year, stating it's time for him to do his part. There's only one issue. Jeremy asking, didn't he just hold a large concert like last week? Yeah, he did, yeah. Carol Baker told us about it. It was weekend before this passed. And, he held a huge 74,000 people concert at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. So the Rona was already taken off and running with real abandon. Well, it's going to run even hotter and faster now. Yeah. Yeah, Megan just ran across the story of the young woman, the girl in Mississippi. Right before she passed away, Governor Colonel Tate Reeves said, updated mask guidance from the CDC is foolish and harmful. It has nothing to do with rational science. Of course, this is the governor of the same state that Pastor Shane was barking about how climate change is a religion. In Muzuppistan, we believe in freedom. Mm-hmm. And they've had 5 pediatric COVID deaths in Mississippi. And that's 5 pediatric COVID deaths too goddamn many. But, freedom. Mostly babies only get a little sniffle. God almighty. Yeah. Meanwhile, the country's on fire with COVID-19 again. And the guy who let it run wild all over America is barking as of, about 4 minutes ago. Fake elections have consequences. Just look at the horror of Afghanistan coupled with the massive incompetence at our southern border. Yeah, don't say anything about COVID, dumbass. It's your fault. I'm sorry, motherfucker. And then we go, of course, where else? Why, yes, to Walmart. And where else? Of course, Missouri. There's a guy from Talabama by the name of Christopher Key, and our pal Kenda alerted me to this earlier. And he calls himself, along with his thugs, the vaccine police. And so in Springfield, Missouri, where COVID-19 is raging, and they went to a Wally World, to the pharmacy at Wally World, and assaulted the workers in the pharmacy there who locked themselves into the pharmacy to protect themselves from these dangerous thugs. Christopher Key.
Okay, guys, we are live now. This is the vaccine police. We are headed to Walmart, and we are going to present documents to the pharmacists, letting them know what they're doing is crimes against humanity, and what they're doing is violation of the Nuremberg Code, and if they do not...
The Nuremberg Code. No, it isn't. Not even remotely. And, of course... Christopher Key was live, where? On Facebook, because Facebook won't take his dumbass down.
Stand down immediately, then they could be executed, and they could be hung at the stake, just like those. And not
wait. Hold on. He's calling for the execution of pharmacists and pharmacy techs for administering the vaccine, and says that they could be hung at the stake. Not quite sure what that means, but executed, I'm pretty solid on.
To Germany, just like they did the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, the clergymen, all those involved with what happened in Nazi Germany is happening here now.
No, it isn't.
They're doing medical experiments on we the people.
No, they aren't.
And it will stand down now. We the people have to stand up. We cannot allow this to happen anymore. We know for a fact that 45,000 people.
Why is this asshole at large?
Sworn affidavit that was signed saying that 45,000 people within 3 days of receiving the vaccine dropped dead. We cannot handle this. This has to stop.
Wait, how do dead people sign sworn affidavits? And who's doing the, okay, so maybe that didn't, but somebody's signing some sort of sworn affidavit. Anybody can swear to anything as long as it's not called, as long as it's not challenged. If you've got 45,000 people, if you've got a sworn affidavit that says 45,000 people dropped dead within 3 days of taking the vaccine, might be interesting for law enforcement to find out who signed that thing and maybe apply that, whatever jurisdiction it is, laws against false swearing, perjury, that kind of thing.
We're being told that this vaccine is the saving grace, but it is not. We know chlorine dioxide could save many and many lives, and this has to stand down, guys. So let's see. We got some people here to go in with us.
With us. He's alone in his car. Us. You know, him and that mouse in his pocket. Now, there were almost 1,000 people dead yesterday from COVID, not from the vaccine, and they were largely unvaccinated. Just saying. But this is some vicious shit. This guy went from Alabama to Springfield, Missouri. Now, this thing goes on for 30 solid minutes.
In these pharmacists, we ask it your name,
Lord. Oh, so they're going to do some praying.
We're going to go last. When we went by the drive-thru. Yeah, if you will get off the thing right
in front of Walmart.
Okay. So we got... I can edit anything, too.
Okay, that's
good. Cool.
Dude's even got a costume. He's got a polo shirt, and he's got a tin star in a circle pinned to his collar, and I don't know who he had printed up, but it says Vaccine Police.
Yeah, I want you to go live to Walmart and come down to me. Okay. We got this, and I got this. Okay, so we're ready. I got to start my car. You go, Terminator
Awesome. Yeah, at least in. At least in.
Puts on his wraparound sunglasses. Got a little shoulder-mounted GoPro.
Well, that's what they do, guys. They use it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, I agree. Well, this is why I told him. That's why I'm wearing my kit shickers. That's what my mom used to call them all the time. She's like, you got your kit shickers on? Yes, ma'am.
Don't lock it.
Yeah, that'd be a bad day. Then we don't have a getaway car. We're not gonna let that happen here. We're ready.
And we can go where you can the way I go.
Can I get you to hold these boxes?
Yes.
You just give it to me when I ask you.
Sure.
Thank you guys for coming. You got my keys. Got everything in
here. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Oh, and on the back of dipshit shirt, he's got a bunch of search phrases for people to search on Google. And even though they recently got busted for some plagiarism problems, even Snopes has gotten on top of this. Snopes, did 45,000 people die within 3 days of getting the COVID vaccine? Allegations were said to come from a government insider. Rating, false. While attending a rally in Southern California in July 2021, attorney Thomas Renz claimed that an anonymous government whistleblower had proof that an estimated 45,000 people had died within 3 days of receiving their COVID-19 vaccine. He was speaking at the Reawaken America Super Spreader event in Anaheim, California, brought to you by Clay Clark. And, of course, it went like wildfire around the country. I'm filing papers in federal court today, so you guys are the first to hear. Go ahead and post it. It'll be censored in about 6 seconds. And, of course, the usual suspects are spreading this toxic, dangerous, deadly horse shit. InfoWars, fear unmasked. By the way, this creepy pettifogger is from Ohio. Sorry, Steve. And so now he's peddling this because it's a big dollar. He went to Case Western Reserve University. Sorry, Cleveland folks. And he has an active license to practice law in the state of Ohio. And he filed a lawsuit in, where else, Talabama, for his clients, America's Frontline Doctors. Remember, America's Frontline Doctors has among its members the loopy physician from Texas who claims that male erectile dysfunction is caused by demons who steal men's penises and hide them under the ocean. And I guess, it's Talabama, but also Talabama is notorious for rendering wild-ass verdicts. And in the suit papers, he claims, the vaccines are unapproved, inadequately tested, experimental, and dangerous biological agents that have the potential to cause substantially greater harm than the SARS-CoV-2 virus and the COVID-19 disease itself. Now, you know this guy's a maggot. Why is his God Emperor remaining silent? He's tried to file for injunctive relief against Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra to end emergency use authorization so nobody can get a shot. And he claims he has evidence that the shots are dangerous. I know, based on this woman's testimony, because she's seen the inside of the systems, that there have been 45,000 deaths based on how many people died within 3 days of the vaccine. Jesus God. And so this filth is being further propagated by this yahoo. Wait a minute, I've got Steve in New York on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
I'm getting angry, frankly. Mm-hmm. Getting angry.
Can I just tell? I emailed you about. And I apologize about, excuse me a sec, I need to breathe. This is making me so fucking angry, it's making me cry.
I'm sorry.
This fucker Kenneth Copeland, assaulting a man.
Battering even. Easy.
This makes me so fucking... I can't even tell you how angry it makes me. And the complete and utter lack of fucking shame that these people have, and taking advantage of people and playing on their ignorance like they are. And I emailed you about this. The only time I ever see Jesus get the least bit violent is throwing the fucking business people out of the temple for making money there.
I know.
And let me talk. This fucker you just had on here about his Nazi Nuremberg, he doesn't know where the, he has no fucking clue what the,
nah, he can't spell Nuremberg.
Is. He doesn't fucking have any idea, because you know what? You know what? The Nuremberg codes were actually laws that the Nazis passed that took the rights of Jews away as citizens of Germany. There is no... if those people at Walmart had shot them, which I'm sorry, I wish they would have.
Well, Jeremy's got the same question. Why didn't Walmart security club this freak like a baseball and throw him out of the fucking park?
This is stand your ground shit. Fuck beating them, shooting them in the. I know I shouldn't. This makes me so angry. And these fucking people are laughing.
Yes.
They're laughing. And I would have, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I would have no problem seeing them drawn and quartered so that they understand how destructive they're being.
Yeah, but I was just trying to make a dollar.
I sent you the thing about this, and I think I may have sent this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, but again, I always say this. I listen to a lot of foreign radio and press and all that. And there's this crazy fucking nurse in the UK was part of a rally, and this whole Nazi thing and nurses and doctors comes right out of that rally and right out of her mouth. And her son went on, at least where I heard him, went on one of the radio shows in the UK and said, my mother went off the fucking, she was a nurse in the NHS, and she went off the fucking deep end. I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was, that I think it was in Arkansas, where they threw away 80,000...
Alabama.
Was it Alabama? And there are people around the world who would walk across fucking burning coals...
And ground glass, and are literally dying for it.
And I'm sorry, I'm not. It just literally, not much makes me so angry I can't speak. I'm a talker. I get it.
Imagine for a moment, and I'm not discounting your anger because I share it. But imagine for a moment if you're our community member Kenda and her family, who are in or near Springfield, Missouri, where this guy has come to spread his particular version of the disease.
I mean,
it's kind of an empathy thing, you know, and I'm not saying you lack for it.
And you had mentioned this. I loved it. Hung at the stake. You might tell you what this fucker thinks hung at the stake is. That means putting up a gallows down at the Outback Steakhouse. That's what he fucking thinks.
I think the word he was looking for was gibbet.
which rhymes with blivet, which he is. And we all know what a blivet is, right?
I don't. What is it?
A blivet is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag.
Yeah. Hold on a second. My cat keeps coming up on my desk and screwing with my computer.
I know. It beggars belief, for starters.
It does. And
because you're waiting for somebody to go, ta-da, you know, pull a mask off or, you know, whatever.
You're on candid camera. I mean, wearing a mask is like some fucking... I mean, I hate wearing a mask, particularly when it's 85 to 90 degrees outside. It's 80 to 90% humidity. I don't fucking like it. I'm vaccinated. I don't wear it because of me. I wear it because I don't want to give it to somebody else.
Can I just say something? I'm not that bothered by it. I've worn it. I've worn my mask in 90 degree heat.
Well, I only have the surgical mask, so...
And I'm the, you know, I'm, you know, look, I, you do, this is going to sound silly. It's not silly. No, I take that back. It's just new things I'm learning. Masks are lipstick death. It does, I don't care what kind of precision you put your lipstick on with. You're going to look like a 5-year-old who's been in mommy's makeup case when you take the damn thing off.
And you take it off, and there's that little mark right there on the inside of
it. Little? It's the size of my mouth.
Okay. Well, and I know you have a really big one of those.
Shut up. Yeah, I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you walked right into that one. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You served a softball, and I hit that one out of the park.
Well, you know, if you don't put those out of the park, there's something. That's on you, not me.
That's an Ephus pitch. You remember the term Ephus?
Oh, yes.
And I'm not trying to make light. I honestly can't take it. I just cannot stand it. You know, I tell you something? We are headed for a situation that's worse than it was in January of this year.
Yes, yes, we are.
But it's going to be 10, even though the cases, we're at 100,000 a day on average over, I think, the 7 to 14 day average. And you know how much of a weirdo, and I've gotten to the point where I cannot figure out why I keep looking at this. I don't know why. Because when I look at it, and I look at a bunch of, I look at the CDC, I look at the WHO, I look at a number of other sources, because I just want to find out, because the reason that you get different sources saying different numbers is because of when they, the 24-hour period that they start and end counting. That's one of the big reasons. But what's going to make, you know what, we're going to hit 200,000 probably soon. I mean, the New York Times had 250,000 a couple days ago, and I think part of that, the part of the reason it was so high is because cases that didn't get reported over the weekend got reported on Monday, and that's why that was kind of off of the normal curve. And for anybody who thinks, you know, I'm not trying to be all statistic-y, I think that's why. But the bottom line is we are anywhere from 120 to 140,000 cases per day on average over the last, what, you know, the last 10 to 14 days. But what makes that so much worse is that there is a vaccine. And mark my words, and again, I get it. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a statistician.
You know, you don't even need to say that, because you know who isn't a scientist? This dickhead at Walmart in Springfield. You're more of a scientist than he is, because you at least have studied a little bit of it somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I was. I don't know if I ever told you this. I somehow, when I was in college back in the 89 and 93 is when I went to undergrad, somehow ended up in an upper level graduate, but an upper level statistics course. Never quite understand how I got into the class because I never took any prerequisites, but I aced it. Because there, you know, there are some things that just, you know,
yeah,
you're not a numbers person, so it just, it's like Greek to you. And I'm not saying that to be, it's not a pejorative.
Oh, it's more baffling than Greek to me. I can dope out some Greek words.
But for some reason, it just makes sense to me.
I understand.
I can look at numbers and sometimes I don't like that I can easily see these trends, but I can. And I, you know, it's like, anyway. And I think some of this is borne out, or some of this, a number of scientists, whether it's around the world. I mean, New Zealand has a bunch of really good ones, or a couple really good ones. There's not really a bunch of anything in New Zealand. And some the UK, there's two women who developed the AstraZeneca and who are out of – is that me or is that you?
What?
The noise.
Probably me, because it's probably the gate picking up the the air conditioner in the background.
I gotcha. And a lot of what I read bears this. We are headed for vaccine resistant.
Well, look, yes, we are. I think that's one of my most dire fears, is that we are headed for that. But there's a reason. And as rational people, we can at least try to sort this out. The reason is the people like Kenneth Copeland and that prophetess, whatever, they're all hung up on their mass their Christian mass delusion. And they have it in their head that if you can get this plague really rolling, that, well, Jesus will come back. I know it sounds crazy.
No, and you know, and I always say this, and I've said this a lot here on the program, is, and look, anyone who listens to me knows how I feel about the church. But one of the things that I really take, that I've learned from you, is what's the phrase you use? Dipped by the heel into the whole Baptist thing.
Yeah,
is that yeah? That is so different than my.
Oh, I realize it's alien. That's why I try to share this toxic shit with people.
And it's
because otherwise it seems utterly unbelievable. Oh, yeah, Rob's just pulling our leg.
And again, for all the shit, all the issues and shit I have with my church, I don't see. I mean, there are, you know, weirdos like Cardinal Burke in Rome, but for the most part, I go to mass.
Well, no, I left. I kind of, you know, just to interrupt for a second. I found some bishop or whatever, prince of the church, said there will be no exemptions to mask wearing in my diocese.
And I just, but you understand, I mean, you got it all the way from the top.
Oh, yeah.
You have the Pope saying, no, not only get it, but you have a responsibility to get it. And I have a hard time, and please, I want everyone to understand, this is not a Steve evangelizing for the Catholic Church thing. I really, honestly, don't get how people who come out of our birth from the same whatever. There's not nuance here. There's on this side, and there's 180 degrees on that side. And I won't kid you, I don't get it. My parish, I walk in there, and there's a big sign. There is no more than 10, maybe 25% capacity. There are pews blocked off. Don't sit here. If you're here, you must wear a mask.
Jesus said so.
The priest wears a mask at the pulpit. The priest, when he hands out communion, wears a mask. And everyone who comes up for communion has to wear a mask. And they tell them, you don't
Steve, this is all exactly why the evangelicals are responding as they do. Because if the Catholics are doing it, that means it's a mark of the beast and the whore of Babylon. This shit runs deep. Fuck a bunch of ecumenicalism. I've even got a stupid little song about it.
But you see how I still have, or not just me, there's a lot of people, I guarantee you.
Oh, no, there are. Jeremy in Vermont just wrote in subject line Steve and said, I'm right there with Steve, and I don't have half the education he does, but I'm in such a lack of words that when I want to talk, all that comes out is, Jesus Christ, we're all fucked.
And you know, there are plenty of atheists, agnostics, believers in the community.
I didn't even get it very far into this video out of Springfield, Missouri. It's breathtaking. Let's see here. Let me run just a little bit more of this audio, and then Tracy's with us too, and I'm going to bring her on as well. There's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, so I just threw a mask call out of my cat. So how y'all doing?
God love you, girl.
Good for you. I love you. Hold on a second. I'm going to get up and applaud. I just gave you a standing up.
Well, here, I'll join in.
Motherfucker. Because he was, first of all, I pick him up. He said he's going to the airport. I'm like, okay, what airline are you going on? Well, actually, I'm not going to the airport. I'm going to a hotel by the airport. I said, okay. What hotel? And he's like, well, I don't want to tell you because it's a bad hotel. And I'm like, you know what? You know, so, you know, I sort of play along and we're driving and I'm like, you pull your mask up and, you know, he wouldn't. I'm like, you know what? First, he started complaining that I was going the wrong way. I'm like, how am I going the wrong way if you don't fucking tell me where we're going? So, you know what? I pulled over. Get the fuck out my cab. Just get the fuck out.
Good for you.
And you were within, and you were well within your rights to do so.
Yes, you crazy motherfucker! Just get the fuck out! I don't need this. I don't need the money that badly. I will go work on a pole and wear before I take your ass anywhere. I don't care if you're going to fucking 10 motherfucking fuck too. Get the fuck out of my cat. Yeah. Anyway, so how y'all doing?
Well, we're just sitting here talking about the spread, the mask holes and the COVIDiots and the spread necks. That might have been. I think that was probably that's probably a spread neck you had in your cab. But I got some audio here of an anti. Good for Tracy, says Darlene in Connecticut. And so here, this is Christopher Key invading a Walmart in Springfield, Missouri. I think y'all both be able to hear this. He's walking into Walmart. They're headed for the pharmacy.
Wow, it's a little early, isn't it? It's a little early. You're a little early closing. Whoa, we're out of our prescriptions. Whoa, wow. Nope, they got a wussy out back in the back.
Yeah, why would you want a bunch of unvaccinated assholes And this goes on, this whole video goes on for another 22 minutes. And eventually they start screaming at the people working in the pharmacy.
They won't show us the package insert, even though it's intentionally blank. The package insert, guys, is intentionally blank. Can somebody help me understand why it's intentionally blank? Does that not bother any of you guys? I mean, there's
big time bother.
Intentionally blank.
That means you have no idea what the ingredients are.
On and on and on like this.
We do this all across the country. That's one way to stop the vaccination. Everybody go with cameras and go to the pharmacy and start filming. And then we'll shut them down. They won't be able to poison us any longer, guys.
They won't be able to poison us any longer. And like I said, this is 30 minutes of video, y'all. Where's Walmart security? And by the way, Megan says, good for you, Tracy. Fist bump in solidarity, but don't forget to Lysol the fuck out of that back seat.
Oh, dude, seriously, I got Lysol wipes. I have spray Lysol. I started to spray his ass. I'm like, get the fuck out of my cap, you stupid motherfucker.
And, John in Central PA says, I love Tracy, the first caller I ever heard when I started listening to the horn back in November 2016.
Say that one more time. What happened?
John in Central PA says, I love Tracy. She was the first caller I ever heard when I started listening to the horn back in November 2016.
And he hasn't ran away. That's so sweet.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
Hey, Tracy, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a real quick question. Did you look at that article that I sent you? Was that
baby? Baby, I haven't looked that shit. I in all honesty, I haven't looked that shit. Wait, which one? Because you sent me. I don't know.
No, the one.
I'm lying.
No,
One at a time, y'all.
You're going in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Farming.
No, why are you apologizing? Yes. As a matter of fact, I sent it along to my brother because one of his friends at his office, daughter was going to some school, I forget, and she was taking agriculture, right? And she went and complained to the dean that, what the fuck? Why is there no mention of black farmers in my entire curriculum? I think she was damn near a senior at this point. And so the dean's like, oops. So now she's getting a full-ride scholarship to do her master's on black farmers in the United States.
Awesome.
Hot damn.
She should check out that entire issue of Mother Jones. If she can't find it, let me know, because it's all about black farming. It's really, really good.
Well, I sent it to my brother, and I told him to send it on to his friend. So,
awesome.
Yeah, because my brother and I had just talked about that. And he's like, we get into these discussions about, how the plight of black folks and how, we didn't even know when we were younger there was such a thing as black farmers and how black farmers, whenever there was. Well, there are black farmers, and the fact that, right, but then their land was stolen, or when they were doing the farm grants, because, it may have been a federal program, but if it, whatever state that you're in, it's up to the state to hand out the aid, and if you're a Negro, you ain't getting shit. And we can talk about that with the VA bills and I can't think of his name. What's the Roosevelt, the New Deal, and anything that black people are entitled to. That if we were melanin challenged, we would get that shit. But no. So, we talk about that kind of shit. Oh, Oh, I have a question. Okay. You both are white, right?
Palely so, yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Robin's a little whiter than I am, so.
Well, that's, ooh, Jesus. So, I need you guys to, you know how I'm like the authority on all things black and lesbian and queer and woman and all that. I need the white liberal progressive. I need to find out about this mindset. I had a conversation earlier today with one of my gay white liberal friends. And, we would, you know, we just talked about, first of all, I was saying how happy I am that I just welcomed, I have now a new, brand new baby, great niece. I sent the pictures of her. Her name is Ada Lambert. If that name don't sound country, I do not know what does. So she's Baby Bear. Isn't that cute?
Yes, it is.
So, but Ada Lynn, she's got to grow into that name or become a country western singer or something. Anyhow, so we were talking about that, and we got on the whole, we were talking about what's happening in California about the recall. And I was saying, you know, white liberals, including our governor, need to get off their asses and hit the streets about this recall election. There, he's like, oh, he has it. He's fine. I said, isn't that what we said, what a bunch of y'all said about Hillary in 2016?
Mm-hmm. Gray Davis come to mind?
That's what I said. And what about Gray? And that was because that was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like, and so? I said, Larry Elder is a threat. He is that thing, that token Negro that says, look, the Republican Party isn't prejudiced. Look at me. And it's like, and I'm about to say Gray Davis, Lord Jesus. And I said, you know, Gavin Newsom is not doing enough. He needs to be on TV every hour on the hour because I got my ballot the other day, which I've already mailed in for, you know, not to, to know on the recall. But what is this thing about white liberals that when black people try to tell or BIPOC people try to tell you, you're about to get fucked. But the reasoning is, well, you know, California's okay and all the, or just the country's okay. It's not, do you not remember what happened in the last 4 years? Are you really, you know, because we talked, I said.
Tracy, this goes back to what I was saying all through the election cycle last year. Vote like your life depends upon it, because it does.
It does.
You know, that dopey idiot woman, Caitlyn Jenner, is not going to be the next governor of California. Larry Elder probably won't either. But they are creating space for some asshole maggot to be.
Thank you.
You know, maybe some spreadneck Republican real estate developer. That's usually how it plays out, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But because we, you know, he was talking about, like, we got, because then we started talking about, I said, dude, you know, 2016, Gray Davis, that, you know, there is a weakness in the Democratic Party because we're pussies. Well, I'm not. I have one. And hopefully you'll have one soon, too, Robin. But other than that...
Hoping.
It's just, you know, we started talking about, you know, because I've been up right up January the 6th. And I said, thank goodness that Trump pissed off enough of the military that we didn't have to worry about a real coup. And then he says, well, the wait for it. He says, well, the general swore an oath. I said, and the fuck what?
There we go.
Do you really think? I said, how many of those motherfuckers that were on there on January the 6th swore an oath to protect the country? And storm the fucking capital. Then he's like, then he goes, well, if that happens, you know, the governors have the, the governors have the National Guard. I said, baby, how many governors do we have that are Republican governors? And by the way, do you really think the National Guard could go against the full force of the United States military? Are you, I said, what? So is it just me, or is it that, is there, there's a certain class of liberal right people who are just, I don't know, stupid?
No,
or am I just being really mean?
Tracy, fantasists, they trust... They trust an order that does not any longer exist. Now the counterbalance to me, if there's any hope to be had out of this, is that it is California, and y'all not going to have to go to the polls to vote on this one. You're going to mail in vote this one too, and that means it's going to be real hard to suppress anybody's vote.
Right.
And that may be sufficient to get Gavin Newsom above the 50% that he needs.
I wouldn't want to rely on that, though.
I wouldn't either.
You know what it comes down to? Here's what I think it comes down to, Tracy and Robin. You can tell me what you think of what I'm saying. White folks have never had to worry about shit being taken away.
Exactly.
Because white folks have always, whatever the it is, we've always had it.
And white folks have... Historically, white folks have been the people doing the taking away.
Right.
That
whereas
part.
You have, yeah. Whereas you have black folks who are like, excuse me, I can remember a time when some cracker with a gun stood at the polls and said, no, you can't come here.
Thank you. And I tried that shit in 2016. We're not talking 1960 something. We're talking 2016. They were doing voter intimidation.
I mean, let's be honest here. The Voting Rights Act wasn't that long ago.
Well, in Joey's journal today, he mentioned this being the anniversary of women getting the right to vote. You know, just a little bit more than 100
white
years
women.
Ago. White women. White women.
White women.
And in thinking about that, bear this in mind. I don't think it was 10 years ago, maybe it was a little more than 10 years ago, I don't know, that Anthrax Coulter said women should not ever have been given the right to vote. A woman said that. And so it's, you know, it has nothing to do with this particular topic, but there is a Supreme Court case way, way, way back that talks about, and it's a money case, okay? It's not a voting rights or civil rights case. It's about money, and it's about risk. And in a footnote or dictum or something like that, the Supreme Court said, the principle is always at hazard. The principle is always at risk. Meaning,
oh my God.
And meaning there's no way to have, you know, if you've got your money in a mattress and the house burns down, you lost your money. If the bank closes its doors and your money's in the bank, you lost the money. If you go to a gambling den and you say red, no black, and it comes up green, you lost the money.
You lost your money.
And so the principle is always at risk. And so too are civil rights. There's always somebody out
Thank
there
you.
Who is there's always somebody out there who is aggrieved by the fact that somebody has the same rights that they do, and they stay up nights trying to figure out ways to defeat those rights. And we need to understand Justice Anthony Kennedy's decision years back when he said there's really no such thing as bribery. We need to understand that as another case of that. That, you know, and we need to understand John Roberts declaring that there is no such thing as institutional racism anymore in America, and therefore the Civil Rights Act is unnecessary. That was an active perpetration, passive voice, sorry, Steve, of voter suppression. That was voter suppression from the highest court in the United States.
From the highest court in the United States.
And when John Roberts goes to his long home, they need somebody, you know, after people have pissed on his grave a good bit, somebody needs to come up and on his headstone spray paint vote suppressor. Because that's what he is.
Yeah.
Same thing for Sandra Day O'Connor. Somebody needs to mark her stone and say, you know, gave us Bush.
Thank you.
You know, that's the trouble with, and I don't like what I'm about to say, but you know, just because you're the first someone of some marginalized group does not mean you're going to be a good one. Oh, Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman on the Supreme Court. Ooh, yay, women's rights. Yay for Sandra Day O'Connor. Yeah. She fucked us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really? I'm not going to sit here and get all squishy if Caitlyn Jenner was to become governor of California, I'm sure every magazine in the country, America's first transgender governor. Blow me. Okay? You know, if Jesse Lee Peterson. Find a first for him. It will be a bad thing. And it's the question, it's the question I've asked in the past. We all say, and I agree, America needs a woman president. That thing needs to be broken and thrown on the dustbin of history. But
what woman?
Do you really?
Not just anyone.
Yeah. Would you be okay? You know, Ivanka Trump Kushner is the first woman president. Yay, we've got a woman president. Eat me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, doing things for the thing's sake has a profound likelihood of being toxic. Oh, and by the way, I got a note from Brendan a little bit ago. These decades of Reaganism on down into the sewer of religion, a phrase has come to mind often. Those whom the gods wish to destroy, they first make insane. Brendan says, peace, dude. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, the evangelicals and whatnot, the maggots, America's being destroyed. And they're the ones who are lighting the matches and swinging the hammers. And they become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, and by the way, I had a note from Darlene who said that's awful that Tracy has to go to the trouble of sterilizing her cab now. How aggravating! They have to force vaccinations, Robin. Otherwise, the worst scenario of a superbug is going to happen. Only it'll be a vaccine-resistant virus. This could spell the end of human civilization as we know it. That's when you wind up with something like a 14th century plague in Asia and Europe scenario. And it really did. It completely upended the entire social structure all across the Eastern Hemisphere. And I want to bring one thing into this conversation. Good for you, Joe Biden, because now he's doing what really works in America. You want people vaccinated? You kick them right between the folds of their wallet. And so the Biden administration is now going to say, listen, nursing homes, y'all want all that sweet, sweet Medicaid money and that sweet, sweet Medicare money?
Oh, good for Joe.
Everybody has to be vaccinated, period.
Good for Joe.
and you know, oh, wait, what? I ain't going to get paid? Give me the shot.
Exactly.
All you know, it's kind of the opposite of what Sam says to Rick in Casablanca as the Nazis are rolling into Paris. He pops the champagne and says, "Well, boss, all this champagne is going to take a lot of the sting out of being occupied. You know, keeping on getting a paycheck will take a lot of the sting out of that little tiny fine ass needle going in your arm."
Uh huh.
And the fact of the matter is, They'll shut up. You know, they might piss and moan and go, "Oh, I got a headache. Oh, God, I hope I ain't going to die in 3 days like them 45,000 people done did." And then 3 days later, they're going to be okay, and they'll forget they ever had it. And because this is all so much hypocrisy. I forget who the leftist was in the early 20th century. Judy Bonds used to quote him all the time. That's where I first heard it, because she used it in the context of trying to reach out and explain how bad mountaintop removal was to somebody who worked in the coal industry. The quote goes something like, "It is hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it."
Yeah. I'm trying to think who said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't try. Somebody, one of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will cover that. Oh, by the way, I'm now officially getting shit from Darlene over talking about how lipstick is masks are lipstick death. What's the point in even wearing fucking lipstick, Robin, if you're going to don a mask? Seriously? What's wrong with you? You're more of a girl than I am. Well, I'm catching up, honey. I got something like 46 years to catch up with. And so, and it just makes me feel better. Thank you. Now there's one thing you can do. There's one thing you can do. I have discovered this. You can go with a smudge-proof liquid lipstick. What brand is it?
Yeah.
I love this stuff. Stila, Stila. I got some right here.
Okay.
And the only thing that will remove this lipstick is either makeup remover, or the minute that I decide.
Dynamite?
No, it's simpler than that.
Hammer and chisel?
Nope. Learned this the hard way. I'd worked really hard to get it all cute. And then I thought, hey, I haven't been to KFC in a while. Grease will take that liquid lipstick right the hell off.
I had KFC yesterday. I had the fried chicken sandwich.
Girl, I am so ashamed. You live in civil. You got Popeyes. What's wrong with you?
You and a fucking Popeyes.
But at least you didn't go to Bigot Bird. You know, Chick-fil-A.
You mean Chick-fil-A? Yeah, no.
Bigot Bird.
No. Jan had a hankering for fried chicken yesterday. And I thought about Popeyes. The only problem is the closest Popeyes to me, by the time I got by the home, it would have been cold.
Okay.
I live.
Cold chicken's no good unless you got good pickles.
Especially fried cold fried chicken, because usually the batter is.
Yeah, one of the grossest words in the English language, cold, that applies to cold fried chicken.
Yeah.
Congealed.
I have a Popeyes.
Yeah, see, I told you. Congealed.
I have a Popeyes across
the street. And the secret word is
congealed. Oh, by the way, Roger, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, Upton Sinclair.
That makes sense.
And Megan has joined in the group.
Was he talking about like unions and stuff like that?
Yeah, oh yeah. Megan has joined the great lipstick debate. Because it just feels weird putting on your makeup and not finishing up with lipstick. I tried that. It was just strange. Go with a matte formula that dries quickly, but layer it with lip liner. It makes it last longer. True.
Again, you're speaking to somebody who can give a damn.
Oh, and offering up a brief review, Arnold in PA says, the current new Burger King fried chicken sandwich, the Chiking, beats all commercial chicken sandwiches, period. I don't know. I'm not so sure if it beats Popeye's. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. It's delicious. I don't know that it beats a Popeye's, but it's better than anybody else's, and it's got a better price point. And no hate. And back in June, they donated like 40 cents off of every sandwich to LGBTQ causes.
It didn't make no shade at Chick Full of Hate when they said, and we're open on Sundays.
Yes, they did. And you know the shade was so dark. Chick-fil-A thought that there was a solar eclipse.
That part.
Hey, folks, I need to take care of my cat. But I wanted to, so I need to actually step off. But I wanted to come on and express some anger.
I'm glad you did. And Mason is just a fine looking boy.
Isn't he though? It's good to hear. It's good to talk to you, Tracy. It's good to hear from you. One of my favorite people to listen to and talk to.
Even when I go on a tirade.
Hey, tirade away.
Because I was like I said, I was hotter than fish grease. I'm like, this motherfucker.
Not you.
I wonder if he called the company.
No. I don't care if he had, but he was off. And I'm like, no, get the fuck out of my cab. I can't be aggravated today. I had an aggravating and tough day Monday. Yesterday wasn't too bad, but yesterday was because I had to, I was stuck at my mechanics all day, so I didn't even work. So it's like, I'm like, no. We will not aggravate Tracy today. And anybody that does aggravate Tracy will have the wrath of Tracy fall down upon them. Like a heap of fiery coals. So you don't, I just, you know, and I'm a peace-loving person.
Yes, you are.
Typically. I'm actually, even at times, nice. But no. Just don't rile me up because it's just, you know, it takes a lot. It really does to get me pissed. And this, I'm like, I will. And then he's like, well, take the heat. I'm like, fuck, get out of my cab. Don't mess with me. Just get the fuck out of my cab. Can you leave? No, I can't. Get out. I was down there in the middle of the street, y'all. Like,
go on now. Get.
Get your shit. Get. Go on now. Get. Get. Damn it. Go on now.
In which Tracy finds her southern roots.
I don't know. Anyhow,
Steve, go take care of Mason and have yourself a lovely evening. I'm glad you called in and shared some of the angst.
Angst and anger. Listen, you both take care of yourselves, okay?
All right, you take care. Later.
Bye, Steve.
Stay safe.
Later, Gator.
I need to mention something before we go any further. This is looking to be our. I need to double check here, make sure, but I think I'm right. This is looking to be our second. It's our second goose egg broadcast, unless something dramatic happens in the next 21 minutes or so.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Stop. Wait. Are you saying that in the last 2 hours and 40 some odd minutes that nobody has made any kind of class or anything?
No, there's Joey and Giraffe have a challenge on the table, but they had one on the table last night too, and nothing happened there either. Something did happen last night. I take that back. No, we did not. Last night was not a goose egg. But we're a goose egg so far.
What was Julian Jurafri's challenge?
It was oh golly, let me go down here. I don't want to speak. There we go. The Coal the COVID Challenge out of Coleman County, Alabama. $10 Coleman County Challenge. $10. And that that'd get us down to $605 for the fundraising goal.
Well, I will match that $10. And just for good measure, I'll do a $10 challenge on. Let's see, give me a good word for throwing motherfuckers out.
It's Tracy's decabination challenge.
Yes.
And you also detaxified.
Yeah.
The spread neck.
Or better yet, get the fuck out.
Yeah, get the fuck out my cab challenge.
I can't with people, man. I didn't tell Jan about it because she's so freaked out about me working and stuff like that and all this sort of stuff. But I just, I've only had something like that happen once before that I actually, this guy gets in my cab. And I couldn't understand what he was saying because it was so loud in arrivals. And he goes, "Are you deaf?" And I said, "Yes." As a matter of fact, in one ear. Y'all know I'm not deaf, but, fuck you. Anyway, and he was just funky nasty. And I'm like, "Sir, you know what?" Because I hadn't even left the airport yet. And I said, "You're getting off to a bad start. Why don't you just get in another cab?" "Oh, you'll have to call the cops to get me out." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so he goes, "Do you take cash or card?" Before I had a chance to say, "I take both," he's like, "Well, if you don't take card, then I need to go stop at the ATM. I'm like, "Okay." So I took him to the ATM. As he got out, I got out, took his shit out my cab, and left it. "You're going to tell me you're not going to get the fuck out my cab?"
No.
Again, people have this thing about this because I'm a woman. Because I was trying to explain to the guy, "You have to tell me exactly where we're going. It's for my safety."
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That would have creeped me out from jump.
Right. And I'm like, and he kept changing and saying, this and that. And I'm like, and then the whole thing with the mask. And I'm like, just get out. Get out. Of my cab. I'm not going now. But it's like, I'm not going to put myself, this is not a not dangerous job. Every time I pick somebody up, I'm putting my life at risk.
Yes, you are.
And so I do not take that shit lightly. That's why I basically only work the airport now. And not to say that, I'm not going to get an idiot picking somebody up at the airport. But for the most part, I don't, except for that guy when I that's been years ago. I mean, I've gotten assholes, but I've never gotten people that I just wanted to get, that I wanted to inflict bodily harm upon because they were just nasty motherfuckers. But, I take them where they want to go, and then I go about my business. But that guy? No. And when he's like, "Well, can you at least take me to a major intersection?" I'm like, "No.
You're getting out now."
"You're getting out now."
Did I stutter? What part did you not understand?
Did I stutter? Exactly. I was channeling my grandmother Daisy, who never suffered any fools. And it was just like, because see, he's lucky I wasn't my grandmother Daisy, because my grandmother Daisy carried a gun. She just would have stayed and pulled a gun on his ass. So, just be grateful that I'm not my grandmother, because she straight up would have pulled a gun on his ass. So, okay, people, so I just, before I forget, the fact that I know people, things are tough right now, and people are struggling. But y'all, come on. Robin needs this money, okay? It's not like, you know, she doesn't charge for her, for the podcast. She doesn't have, you don't have to have a special subscription to get the good stuff. You know, there's no tiered pricing or anything like this. This program is free and it's a public service. This is the only thing that has been keeping people sane for the last, how many years, Robin?
Total going on 18, I think.
Okay, but in especially the last four, and especially in the last year and a half, okay? And for us to have somebody like her in our corner, I mean, she takes the hits. She's the one that listens to idiots like Jesse L. Peterson and E.W. Jackson. And, you know, and Man Coulter and the Morning Joe and all these and the idiots, the, you know, evil genitals on, you know, so we can have prayer meeting. Today is Wednesday. So we can have prayer meeting Wednesday. Okay. Just the fact that she puts herself through that and does not, and more than likely after listening and to and watching that or reading any number of articles, the fact that she, you know, has to probably take a bleach shower every time.
Do you know that during the lockdown there was a shortage in Thorazine darts, Tracy?
Right, Thorazine darts.
Calm down, Robin.
Calm down. You know, calm down. So take that into consideration. We are blessed beyond measure.
Your challenge got met. Ralph's jumped in. And so we are now down to, let's see, you got, we're now down below $600. We're down to 585, which means tomorrow we'll be looking at 885. But it would be great to, let's see, if we could knock out Tuesday, that would be awesome.
Right. And remember, you guys, you know, she's going to be gone for almost, for how long, baby?
Over a week.
And yes, she said she's going to take the mobile stuff with her, and maybe she might not be up to doing the show. So do you really want the stress of having to worry about, you know, fundraising when she's not there, here, or what have you, put upon what she's already going through? Yeah, I'm doing the white guilt thing. I know there's some black people that listen, but I know the majority of the people that listen to the show are white. You know, deal with your white guilt. Give Robin the money she needs to keep this shit going. I don't think that's too much to ask. I mean, hell, if five people, you know, five at 25, you know, 10 at 50, you know, five at five, 20 at $25, you know, five at ten at five, that's $50. And it goes on and on. That shit adds up. It's like when I take these, like, when I take short rides and, you know, and everybody's like, oh, it's only $5 here. I'm like, but when I'm dropping off and picking up and dropping off and picking up, first of all, I'm making money. Second of all, I'm not burning up a lot of gas. And I'm not, you know, and I'm still making money because the shit adds up. So every little bit counts. Every little bit counts.
It does, and I mentioned at the top of the program, and I mean, look, this is just, you know, this is just my life. It's so many people's lives. You know how you were talking about having to get the water pump?
Right.
Yeah, you girls got to get bearings.
Shit.
So between that and oh, it's tax month, so I can get my new sticker. And it's just like, yeah. So the bearings were $105 a piece, replacing both on the back. And the taxes are going to be somewhere around $400 or $500. And then there's the labor
the tax for your car?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we're brutal about that kind of shit. And then there's the labor on the bearings. So, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, I think if I took everything that came in for the rest of the week, it's all gone.
Okay, people.
Because last week was all bill paying, and this week bill paying. It's always bill paying, and then the fun stuff.
But
comes
we're coming in,
yeah.
And plus we're coming into the first of the month. You know, so look now. This show has literally kept me sane for at least the last 10 years. I think that's how long I've been listening. So, and even when I disappear and y'all don't hear from me, I'm still listening to, I'm still listening to the show, you know, and I know that I'm not the only one that the show is keeping them from, you know, opening up a vein. And I'm not even trying to be funny with that. I'm deadly serious. This Robin doesn't do this for fun. She does this this is a community service. And we need people like her. You know, whenever I hear the fucktards talking about, you know, the liberal media and mainstream media and how they're taking over shit and blah, 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 calm the fuck on. We couldn't even keep a fucking radio station going. Okay? So, you know, and not only that, are you telling your friends about the show? And not just telling them about the show, send them a link to the podcast. You know, there's plenty of podcasts. Pick your favorite show. Send your friends and family a link to your favorite show or your favorite episode. To get them interested. Don't just tell them about it. Send them a link to the so they can hear the show on their own. Spread the word, y'all. There's enough people in it. I don't know how many people with the listening base is, but I know there's enough people that listen to this show that if they just sent a dollar or two or three or four, Robin wouldn't have to, you know, spend all her time begging. That's all. So,
yeah, I hate that part. But, hey, beautiful things are happening because of what you said. Happy birthday, Matt, in San Francisco. He said, it's my birthday. $57 on the table. Somebody match it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Jude just jumped in. Gifted in love only, says Jude. And just took us down to 565. So if somebody meets Matt's challenge, then... let's see, that would get us down to 451. So that would be awesome. We'd be halfway funded for Tuesday. Thank you, Matt. Happy mm-hmm. birthday. I hope what you were planning earlier works out to your delight. Thank you so much.
On that note, I love you guys. You guys are my favorite people in the whole wide world. I love you a little more than I love my luggage. But I'm gonna get going because I think there's people that are about to walk up to my cab that need somebody, and everybody has a mask, so that I don't have to worry about
good
stupidity. But I love you guys.
You don't have to worry about another incident of decabination.
That part.
Yeah, we invented a new word tonight and everything. The password is decabination.
Decabination. So on that note, I am out.
You have a lovely evening, Tracy.
You too. Night, y'all.
Be good. See ya. One and only Tracy. Just pure magic. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. So we got a few minutes left in the program. Well, let's spend it the way we spent the rest of the program, talking about spreadnecks and COVIDiots and mask holes. And yeah. By the way, Arnold in PA says, we're all dying on the vine. There is no liberal media. No, the liberal media exists only in the minds of, you know, right-wing hate casting. We are a bête noire. And, well, we carry all the water, and, you know, the movers and shakers don't give a fuck. But y'all understand the value of this. But anyway, like I said, what we were talking about through the rest of the program, Agence France-Presse has the story. The Justice Department announced that they have arrested a pharmacist from the greater Chicagoland area. Tang Zhao decided to go into business for themselves, selling 125 official Centers for Disease Control and Prevention vaccine cards for $10 a pop. Honey, you're way too cheap. If you're gonna work the rubes, make them sweat. Because I have no way of guessing gender, so I'm using they, them. I'm guessing it's a him, but I could be wrong. Pharmacist Zhao worked at what Agence France-Presse describes as an unidentified chain of pharmacies and had access to the official U.S. vaccine cards, and has now been indicted on 12 counts of theft of government property and is looking at 10 years in prison on each count. Please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let him be convicted and serve his sentence consecutively. Not concurrently. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth Polite was on a statement and said, "We take seriously and will vigorously investigate any criminal offense that contributes to the distrust around vaccines and vaccination status." What a difference an inauguration makes. Tang Zhao would, I have no doubt, be pardoned and perhaps given the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, for that shit. But it's further indication. I mean, dude is looking. I'm assuming, dude. Sorry. Theoretically, is looking at 120 years for $120. Bad capitalist. Bad. And just one last thing. Let's check in over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You know that Ron Monkey Up Duplantis has been hustling Regeneron. One medical expert pointed out that even though Greg Abbott has no symptoms, you know, we got the big announcement yesterday, Greg Abbott has the Rona. Even though he has no symptoms and appears to be in okay health and he's isolating somewhere in the Texas governor's mansion, he is so scared of this disease that he has downplayed repeatedly that he immediately demanded to be put on Regeneron, even though he probably didn't need it. Well, enter Fox and Fiends, you know, Kilmeade and Douchey and whoever the latest attack blonde is. They decided to have a little talk about Regeneron. Suffice to say, there were no actual facts were used in the making of that broadcast.
You know what's interesting? Greg Abbott, he's in our prayers this morning because he announced that he tested positive for COVID yesterday. He has been vaccinated and mm-hmm. still got COVID, but I think he's doing okay. He's planning on getting the Regeneron.
No symptoms, but he said.
What's interesting, though, is if you don't get vaccinated and you go to the hospital, most of the time you're going to get Regeneron. But Regeneron are the antibodies.
Oh, get the hockey puck. It's late for the hockey puck, but get the hockey puck.
So right. You're basically still getting vaccinated because they're sticking you right. with an antibody, which is the virus.
So guess what they're doing in this terribly run city? They are deciding you can't go to plays, you can't go to movies, you can't go to bars, you can't go to restaurants, you can't go to gyms, can't go to anything unless you have your vaccination card,
right.
which takes a dollar to make a knockoff card, or yet there's a different Celsius passes.
Oh, you know what's interesting? Greg.
You got that? Basically, getting Regeneron after you've already got COVID is basically getting vaccinated. No, it isn't. Not even remotely. Not even in the same area code. Not even on the same planet as getting vaccinated. Pharmtech said the antibody cocktail is not a substitute for vaccination against COVID-19. And it is not authorized, by the way. You know, all these assholes, I ain't going to take it because it ain't fully governmental.
total approval from the FDA.
Well, guess what? The FDA also says that Regeneron's antibody cocktail is not authorized for use by patients who are hospitalized because of COVID-19.
Nope. That's an experimental vaccine, and I ain't going to take it because it'll make me not be able to make no more babies.
No, Spreadneck, that's not true. But Regeneron's experimental, too. But, ooh, they're all excited about that. It has nothing to do with experimental status. And thank you, for-profit media, for giving that excuse to the Spreadnecks. How can we ever, ever thank you? So that's it. By the way, on the way out the door, there is a $57 Happy Birthday to Matt challenge on the table. Thank you, Matt. Hopefully that'll be met in the next little bit. And thank you very kindly to Greg, our buddy Greg. Please assure dear Tracy that I always post Robin's podcast and Terra Busta on my Facebook page and am spreading the word. Hey! Thank you, Greg. Thanks a ton. I do so appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed. COVIDiot being cheap, Lee in New York points out, fake vaccine card, $10. Real vaccine card and shot is free. Didn't catch that part, but that's so true. You get what you pay for, says Lee. Yep. So thanks each and every one of you who are PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running discussion, in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Pinch Hit Midweek Chatroom Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is always HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Please ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe. Start calculating 8 months back from when you got your last vaccine, and you can get your booster. Get your booster when you can. Encourage people who aren't vaccinated to get theirs. Get yours if you haven't. I trust most of us have. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Carry it with you. Pocket, purse, backpack, European-style messenger bag, what have you. Maybe in that little barrel on that hangs from the collar of a St. Bernard, you know, right? Maintain your social distance. Paul from Parts Unknown recommends 15 to 20 feet. It isn't easy, but if you're mindful, you can do it. Wear those masks. Oh, my God, wear those masks. And, you know, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know, I ain't a fan of masks, avoid that superintendent like the plague. Because he is. Later.